Bruce is kind of new on the board up there, and we appreciate everything you're doing. Oh, God, it's so good. You know, I'm encouraged today. I'm almost encouraged every day. But even more so over the last couple of months, I've been kind of pushing this challenge to start each day on your knees in prayer. You know, I've shared this over and over, and I'm going to share it again. Because I've shared it with people on the job site, and some of the people got it. I've been working that. And the only thing we really can do is pray and ask for God's favor and his protection in our life. You know, we can be a prepper of some sorts and, you know, have all kinds of ammo and guns and all that fun stuff, which, you know, I got my share of stuff. I like shooting stuff and blowing things up because I'm a welder. You might want to bring that down just a little bit. It's getting ready to explode. But starting the day in prayer and throughout the day, just kind of talking to God, it has definitely brought me to a new place. And I feel strong and I feel good. I sleep better at night. I'm going to stop looking at my wife because she's just amazing me. I see what God is doing in her life because now we're praying together. We did almost every night, but sometimes I'm a little tired, you know. God can wait. And he'll wait. And he'll wait. Sometimes he waits a long time for us. Well, today we're going to continue on the promises. Pastor Brian had printed out 10 cards and given them out. And, you know, Ryan did 3 last week. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to hit one. Just going to hit one. And we're going to be in the book of Romans, chapter 1. We'll be going through 1 through 17. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read all the way through it. And in the amount of time it takes to do that, that might be your Bible reading for the day. And you say, good to go. But then we're going to go back through it. And we're going to be looking for 3 different things. We're going to be looking for the context it was written in, what he was saying, what Paul was saying to the people that he was writing to, and how does it apply to us? Because if there's no application, it just really doesn't matter. It's just a nice story or a nice letter. Without the application, it's kind of meaningless. Does anybody need a Bible? I see Jeremy grab one. So anybody in here need a Bible? So we're going through this. I'm not going to have a PowerPoint. Cool? Zach needs one's up there. Anybody? Just throw it at him. Go ahead. Okay. We have a nurse in the house. All right, let's have a quick prayer here. Oh, God, you are good. I thank you for my life. I thank you for the life of the believers here today. And for those who might not believe in you, God, or might be on the fence, just kind of not sure about all this, help us be an encouraging word that we would encourage one another, God. We thank you for all that you've done for us through Jesus. Help us not to just skim over it like it's nothing, but that it's everything. I thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and read through this. And just read along with me if you have your Bible. Romans 1, verses 1 through 17. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord, through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles and to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. In verse 7, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how I constantly remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, that the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I've had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel, also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Okay, so we could read that, you know, in the morning reading, nighttime reading, and go, all right, I'm good. Got my time in with God. And I've done that for years. So, all right, cool. But I got to tell you, I'm very challenged by Pastor Brian's teaching. I've known Brian for 12 years now. And what God is doing in his life, in his speaking and teaching ability, it's awesome. It is awesome. And I hope that you don't miss that. So let's take a look at our first introduction in verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Paul always slams a whole bunch of stuff in one sentence. Here we have his identity, his name. His name is Paul. We have his position. He is a servant of Christ. We have his job title. He's called to be an apostle. And this is his duties, set apart from the gospel of God. I thought, that's pretty interesting. I thought, how applicable is things from old days to now? Because, you know, a lot of times we can think, things are so different. That's old school. You know, they're walking around in togas and sandals, you know. If you haven't been to Berkeley lately, or in the last 20 years, it's still the same. But anyhow, the idea is that we're not different. We're not so much different. We still deal with the same stuff. The same junk wants to hold us back, right? Human nature. We can dress up different, live in different houses, do different things, like get stuck on our phone, you know, for 7 hours out of the day. But we still deal with the same human problems. The same human problems. And I thought about this. How is this with us? And I thought about my wife, whom I love dearly. Yes, she loves me pointing her out. And I thought, well, what kind of title would she have here? And I thought, well, Shelley Craigler, BSN, she's a nurse, BSN, RN, and then CHP 9 or 7, something like that. So I couldn't remember all those letters and stuff, so you know. And I thought, oh, that's cool. So this is something that we still do today. And I thought of myself, you know, I thought, okay, Mark Craigler, I have an AAS, and I'm an MAN. So, you know, so it all works out. Everybody's got some kind of title, right? We have some kind of purpose, some kind of duty, you know? And sometimes we have to wonder what that is. Because sometimes you can go through life, you see it all the time, especially in our youth here in Kingman. They're just kind of going through like a Plinko, pachinko ball, what it is, you know, from Bob Barker. They're just getting whacked around, and they have no clue where they're going, you know? And they turn into adults that have no clue where they're going, and make little kids that have no clue where they're going. Because maybe somebody didn't take them under their wing. Maybe they never stopped to ask, God, what am I supposed to be doing? Can somebody help me get guidance here? I get so lost. And I know most of us have been there. And maybe it's that one person who came in as an encouragement and said, have you ever thought about this? Or, you know what, I see potential in you. I want to help you grow that potential. It happened to me in my life. And one of the things I've been trying to do is be an encouragement to others with the time God has given me. All right, let's move on. Verse 2, referring to the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as for his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with the power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. We get a glimpse of the gospel message here. If we look back into Old Testament times, it continually speaks and rolls through the Old Testament writings of so many years, saying there will be a Messiah, there will be a Savior. And even in those times, and we think we might be different, we think, some of us, I know I did, why do I need a Savior? I'm a good guy. I'm doing okay. I don't kill people in the last decade. You know? That kind of thing. We get that kind of thinking. And I used to think like that, and I meet people like that sometimes. Like, you know, I don't need that Christianity. I don't need that whole God thing. But we know different. Sometimes we can take our Christianity and we can twist it in such a way that it's not God's Christianity, it's our own. And that's a scary thing, because then we take what we think is right and we push people away from God because of our judgment. We take the place of God in our own Christianity. We have to be careful. So here we have a picture of this gospel message. So Paul is appointed to spread the gospel message. This is his lot in life at this point. God has taken everything that he knows in this man, Paul, from start to finish, and he's used it. Now, if Paul, looking back, thought, well, looking back, thought, well, I'm an awesome Pharisee. Man, the guy knew the law. So he ended up killing Christians, imprisoning them, because he was so right. He was one of those Jews that was on fire for God, but working against God until God knocked him off his horse. So God took what was good for him at that point in a learning Pharisee and used it for God's good in the end. He took a guy who was totally against Christianity and turned him into the super Christian, if you will. All right. So the gospel message is this. It's simple. And you know, some people say it's just too simple. I can't believe that. We live a life that is against God, just in our sinful nature. We disobey. We do what we want. Shake our fist at God. We curse at him. We do whatever we want. That sets us apart from God. And God says, well, you know what? I'm going to make a way for you. So I'm going to send my son Jesus to pay a price for you because I love you that much. Because there's nothing you can do. You can't have the best religion. You can't do a whole bunch of good works. You can't be the best person in the world. It just don't work that way. So you can't do this, so I'm going to do it for you. And all you have to do is believe. And through belief comes action, obedience, and all those other things. That's the gospel message. And Paul had devoted his life to it. And I feel challenged as a Christian, and Brian said this before too. Do we feel challenged as Christians to be sharing the good news, the gospel message? Or is it somebody else's job? When we get to 16 and 17, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Hopefully we are challenged. Hopefully we are challenged and move forward in that. Because I'll tell you what, when we're sleeping Christians, nothing happens. Nothing happens. There's our gospel message. All right, let's move on. If I could see the blurriness of the words. I need a 1.25, both eyes. Okay, never mind. Here we go, I'll just blow this up over here. All right. You're a very good crowd, by the way. All right, let's go up to 7. Yes, sir. All right.
Will I look like Brian Henderson?
Hey, they work. So Paul is writing in verse 7, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. And I love this part, the next part. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. If we just take that and really think about that, grace and peace to you from God our Father. These two words, grace and peace. In the Bible, in a church setting, it's like grace and peace, grace and peace, grace and peace. Might as well be blah, blah, blah for the most part. Until you are in a situation where you need grace, until you are in a situation where you need peace, it's the thing that you desire because your world is a wreck. You're so stressed out. We've all been there. And guess what? There'll be a time again where it will manifest itself and we'll have a choice. Are we going to desire grace and peace? Are we going to be the ones who give grace to others? Grace is awesome. You know, I was at the job site this week. I've been working up in Boulder Monday through Friday. And it's been a really good job. I mean, one of those solar fields where they have the big mirrors, you know. It's pretty impressive. And one of the guys that's working there, He's maybe 22, something like that, you know. He's kind of, got the beard and stuff like that, and a little bit ornery. And his father's the lead man, just get along great with everybody else. And one day, I sent my fellow worker over, and I said, hey, go ask the guys for this impact wrench, and we're going to take these clamps off because they didn't allow us to look at the welds before we got done. And I talked to him about it a few days ago. So I sent Matt over to talk to him. And so I'm just kind of waiting. I'm putting this jack stand up and stuff. And I hear this, effing this, and wham, bam. I'm like, whoa. So I look over, and Matt's walking back. He's got the gun in his hand, and he's just shaking his head. I said, what's going on? Well, the guy kind of threw a fit because you're taking the clamps off. Okay, here I go. So, okay, I'm going to go talk to this guy. God calls us to be peacemakers. And that's what I want to do. So I talked to him. I said, hey, what's going on? You know, just need to see these welds. I can't sign off on them if I didn't see them. And he's like, you know, you guys are just messing up. And he's just real frustrated. So I said, okay, well, I asked you a few days ago to leave the clamps off, make sure I see them. And I walked away. So me and Matt did our thing, the clamps on. I said, go ahead and return that gun to him, please. And I'm over a distance, blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, okay, I can go handle this, you know, because Matt's kind of new. He's a sharp kid, but he doesn't need to deal with this. So I walk up to the guy, I go, what's the problem? Well, you guys are messing up, and da, da, da. And I said, listen, I'm trying to get the job done. Do a good job. I want to work together with you. We can come up with a way to figure this out. You know, I said, are we good? And generally, I will shake a man's hand, and it does. You bring that connection. You know, it's not this whole who's going to swing first kind of thing. You know, on job sites, it gets a little rough sometimes. But he shook my hand, but I could still tell. He was just flustered. So, and I started to get a little upset. And I thought, I'm going to step away. So I prayed a little bit while I'm walking. And I thought, you know what, I can do this. I can put Matt with this crew of welders. And he's got, you know, some visual experience and stuff. He can look at these welds. That way I don't slow him down. So I went up to this gentleman and I said, you know, I got a great idea. I said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put Matt with you guys. So you guys can, you know, just keep moving along. He's like, no, whatever. I thought, oh, okay. All right, I'm done. So, you know, I let his dad know, which is kind of weird, you know. And I told the guy at Laren. He says, well, he says one more thing to you, I'll just fire him, you know. I said, okay. But I thought, there needs to be some grace here. Is there something that's going on that's causing this young man to be so angry? And I really felt like it was a God moment. And I would attribute it to starting the day in prayer. Because when I hadn't, I'd be probably more willing to react in a negative way. And I had compassion on this guy. And I thought, well, let's just kind of leave it alone for a little while. So we just didn't say anything. You ever been around somebody where there's that tension? You can cut it with, you know, a chainsaw. I mean, it's there. But there's a distance. Okay, we're good, you know. And no high fives. And a few days later, his dad called and said, hey, you know, he's coming in late. Can you give him a lift onto the site? And you have to drive 5 miles an hour, so it takes forever to get anywhere. So we're sitting in a truck together. And he starts talking, you know, and just, you know, nice truck and all this fun stuff. And, okay, cool. And I said, oh, you got kids? Yeah, I got kids. I said, oh, so you married? You know? He says, well, I'm going through a divorce right now. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. I said, well, that kind of stinks. Yeah, she's trying to take my kids from me. She's really angry. I said, oh, okay. Makes it easier on me. I have one little piece of information. Now I can work with. It makes it easier to show grace. When I really don't need that information to do that, do I, as a Christian? I should give a person the benefit of the doubt for being angry and just say, something's probably going on in their life. They're probably not 100% evil, you know? Although there are those out there, a few and far between. But it was a cool moment, you know, when I could just talk with this young man. I mean, we weren't hugging and crying together or nothing. But it was a moment of connection. Moment of connection. Grace and peace. So, obviously, Paul is telling them, grace and peace to you from God. Wow. That's pretty awesome because that's the one who gives it. We just need to seek it out. Maybe accept it. Because we can have grace and peace right there. If it was something that you could package and put on a table right in front of you, all you have to do is open it and receive it, you could do that. But sometimes we want to mull in our anger. I have a right to be angry. And we do that, and we don't take what is good and right, and it's going to put us in a good direction, and we keep going down this wormhole of anger and bitterness. And it kills us. Kind of like boiling a frog. You know that story, you know, you put a frog in boiling water, it jumps right out. Whew, that was close. But if you put the frog in the water, I guess it's probably a Louisiana thing, you put the frog in the water, and then turn it on slowly, he'll cook over time. He's thinking, oh, this is nice. Hey, we got bubbles going on now, it's like a jacuzzi. Right? Until he's finally cooked and then somebody eats his legs. But sometimes we're like that. We find ourselves slowly getting out of touch with God. and we start getting in trouble. And then we get to a point of like, you ever say this? How did I get here? How did I get here? Grace and peace. Are we giving it to others? Oh, I love this. We're going to go to 8 now. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart, is preaching the gospel of his Son. God is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. Oh, I love this. You ever think, what is my gift? What is your gift? What has God given you? And I used to think my gift was the gift of encouragement, and I still do. And I thought, man, as a young Christian, I was reading about Barnabas, you know? Yeah, and just, man, this guy, he's awesome. You want to be around him, you know? He's an encourager. And I thought, that's the kind of guy I want to be. You know, I'm kind of wacky anyhow, you know? And I actually care about people. But I thought, how cool is it when someone gives an encouraging word? You know, what if I said, you know, Charles, I thank God for you. And I do. And I just met Charles, you know? There's a connection there already, you know? Not to get weird or anything, but... You know what I'm talking about, you know, just some people you got to work a little bit more. That's where that grace comes in, all right? But, you know, it's just like, I thank God for you. It's meaningful, if I mean it. You know, and I do, and I do. How cool is that? When's the last time somebody told you that they thank God for you? Or if you said to someone else? How powerful is it? An encouraging word. Well, Paul moves on, and he goes to say, you know, I long to see you that I may impart some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Now, you can read in 11 here and say, I long to see you that I may impart some spiritual gift to make you strong. Bam! Hook me up with some spiritual gift. You know, I want laser beams on my eyes. I want to be able to fly. Something cool, you know? And we can read into that. If it was left right there, you can use your imagination to some extent. But he goes on to clarify it, and I'm really glad he does, because I'd be looking, you know, for some weird thing. He says, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. That is cool. And that happens all the time. It happens all the time in this church. You know, I get around brothers, sisters, and your faith encourages me. You know, my wife I started this thing on Wednesday evenings. What time you meet here? 6:15. Comes here, opens the doors for people to pray. You know? It's awesome. It's cool. And it's not just coming together to gossip. People come together and they pray. You know, I've been working out of town. I can't wait to get back so I can join you in that. You know? That's powerful. Her faith is encouraging my faith. You know, it's funny, years ago, a friend of mine, Richard McDowell, he was a comedian, theatrical guy, just hilarious, and a good Christian. And he would say, Mark, your spirit is witnessing to my spirit. And I thought, oh, what does that mean? You know, that's kind of weird. I'm just going to go over here now. And, you know, and it took me years to kind of figure out what he was talking about, you know, because he wasn't encouragement. I mean, he's just like, ah, you know, and I'm kind of like that too. And we would just get together, and it's just like something special was going on, you know, just this encouragement because we both had this relationship with Jesus, and we shared it. And it was just like, it was empowering, and it was just exciting. And that's what he meant. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He wants to go there. He wants to go to these believers in Rome, and he wants to encourage them by his faith, which is strong, exceedingly strong. And they must be strong already to some extent because Paul's never been there before at this point. They don't even know the origin of this church. Paul knew. He actually knew some of the people there. And I've done some looking and some research about, you know, where does this church in Rome start? And there's some ideas, but the Bible doesn't tell us, you know, it was founded on this day, you know, and these guys were in charge, and we don't have that information. Could have been after the day of Pentecost, 3,000 plus people came to know the Lord, and, you know, she tells two people, everybody's buying shampoo, okay? That's a Brett commercial from way back. All right, come on.
the original pyramid scheme. Oh my goodness.
The things that stick in your brain, I tell you, it's kind of interesting.
Oh my goodness. All right. I hope I'm not taking up too much time. You guys have been great. I want to get to the meat of this, to the promise. But there was so much here that I felt so encouraged about it. I thought, I just want to share this. I don't want to just take one verse or two and just try to make it into what I want it to be. I want it to be an encouragement. And one of the things that I want to do today, is Pat McCann's here today? Aw, okay. Well, you tell her I talked about her. Years ago when I was a worship leader, some time ago, she brought me this little set deal and it had this coffee cup in it. And it said, all things are possible with God. And it's almost gone at this point. But I will tell you, this is the way I am, and maybe you are too. Every time I get coffee and I take this cup out, I don't have a whole lot. Not coffee, I have a lot of that. But coffee cups, I think of her. That coffee cup is an encouragement to me from her. And it just kind of makes me feel good. You know, and everything I'm wearing today, I guess now even your glasses, Brian, I dressed this way on purpose. This bracelet here, I'm not a bracelet guy, my wife got for me. I love this bracelet because my wife got it for me. Every time I put this on, I think of my wife. You know, this wedding ring, I think of my wife. I better, huh? And you know, this T-shirt, one of my favorite T-shirts. It's really comfortable. Maybe you can try it on later. But this is our trip to Glacier Park, and we went all day whitewater rafting, and it was just phenomenal. You know, if you're getting a little stressed, take a trip. You know, even if you got to spend a little money, whatever. Get refreshed. And it was just an amazing trip that my wife and the girls and I took. You know, these shoes are just really comfortable, so I like them. So these pants my son gave me, you know, just on and on. It's those little things that are encouragement to me. And if I could say anything to you, see the little things, right? These little gifts that God gives us through other people, right? Paul's saying, I want to come there so I can be an encouragement to you. I would like to meet this guy. One day we will. Cool. Probably this little dude, too. But anyhow, you know, we just think of him as somebody big, you know, and just, at least I do, just strong. His words were powerful. His faith was powerful. What he did was powerful. I want to be part of that. I want to be part of that. And I hope you do, too. I hope that you leave here today thinking, I want to buy somebody a coffee cup. It'll make a difference. I don't care if they drink coffee or not. Give them a coffee cup. Something. Something. So Paul says, you know, I don't want you to be unaware. I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now. So he's saying, I really wanted to get there, but the car broke down. You know? And he wasn't lying. You know? He didn't get the flat tire that wasn't flat. He really longs to be there with them. So he writes a letter to be an encouragement to them. Keep going. Fight the good fight. Make a difference. And they've been doing this, and he's just kind of like pushing up to the next level. And that's what I'm drawing out of this. I'm drawing out of this. And he says here, he wants to be there in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. See, God has given him gifts, and he knows it, and he's embraced these gifts. I got to tell you, you know, I didn't used to struggle so much with public speaking because I was kind of full of myself. You know, I thought, I'm kind of good at this, you know, and people like me. I can be funny if I want to. But God has done something over the years and kind of crushed me and broken me where I really don't desire to do public speaking. But if I can be any good at it, I need to be good at it for God. You know, I need to embrace that gift. So this is what I do. And I thank God for it. So a little side note there. Anyhow, so Paul knows he's got this gift. And he knows that when he gets there, he's going to see some people maybe struggling, that when they come together, that they're going to be increased in strength. You know, if you got one person digging a ditch, they're going to take him forever. And I know this because my son Derek, when he was about 10 years old, he said, Dad, I want to put the trampoline in the ground. I said, sweet, there's a shovel. And he started digging. He dug for days and days and days, if anybody's been out to our place out in Vaught Canyon. And he's like, man, these little shovelfuls are not getting anywhere. you know. You put two people on with shovels, it doesn't double the work. It seems like it triples the work. Because now someone is sharing the burden with you. It just seems like the work is easier. The load is light. You're moving along faster. It's actually enjoyable. It was really great when we brought a third person into it, our neighbor with a backhoe. Okay? That's like the perfect illustration of God's power, you know? Now, those are cute little shovels you're working with there, but I'm going to bring in a backhoe, and we're going to get this job done. That's not the first time God's brought a backhoe into my life to make things easier, literally. Our mission trip to Mexico many, many years ago did the same thing. When we come together, we encourage one another, we gain strength, we gain momentum, we move forward. I hope that you want to do that. Here in verse 14, Paul is writing, I'm obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. Thank you, Lord. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. So he's obligated, pretty much saying, I'm obligated to everybody. If I run into somebody, I'm going to share the word. I'm going to share the message that Jesus is the one you need. He's going to live a life that people cannot. Either they're going to hate him, or they're going to be drawn to him. And you're going to meet people like that too. If you're standing up for Christ, people are either going to hate you, and they might not even know why. But there's something about you that is fighting against what is within them, which is probably their sinful nature, selfishness, you know, things like that. Because we all dealt with it. Oh, man. I remember a friend of mine years ago. His name was Lloyd. He was my boss in the Navy. And we were all drinking buddies and all this nonsense, you know. And kind of keeping contact with the other guys and talking to one of the guys in his gym or somebody. And they say, yeah, Floyd became a Christian. And these are my words. We lost him. Those were my words. Isn't that crazy? That's how far out I was. We lost him. Like there was a line drawn. And now he was on the other side of this wall. He wasn't allowed in our camp anymore. Oh, I'll never forget. We went to the bar. And Floyd was there, and he went with us, you know. He didn't drink. And he says, hey, I want to pray for you guys. And I just laughed out loud. I'm like, you got to be kidding me, you know. I was that guy. I wasn't sure why, but for whatever reason, I wanted nothing to do with what he was about. And he was in the right place. He was in the right place. There was a young man named Mayo. He definitely had some drug use in his background, but he'd come to know the Lord, and he was saved, and he was on fire. And every morning I'd wake up pretty much hungover, because that was just the way he did things. I was in the Navy, overseas a lot and all that. Man, it seemed like he would target me. I'd be, you know, at the sink and stuff, and he'd be popping up. Lord sure made a beautiful day today. It seemed like every morning, Lord sure made a beautiful day today. And I'd have some choice words for him. And after a while, it almost seemed fun to me. So I was so lost. I was so lost. Yeah, I used to take my neighbor, the Jehovah's Witness, who wanted to convert me to the hockey game so I can get him drunk and bring him home to his wife so she could yell at him. I had issues. But there was something about this religion, probably growing up in the Catholic religion and seeing some things that just didn't make sense. And I was kind of put off from it. But I was only put off. I was way off. All my buddies on Christmas Eve service, man, we were always having a party on Christmas Eve. They'd go to church, you know. I mean, they're ripped. They didn't need any communion wine. They're already ready to go. I still wouldn't go. For whatever reason, there was something inside me that was fighting it. Pride, selfishness, and a big, I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. That was a big problem for me. Is there something that is keeping you from growing closer to God? Time, busyness, phone, holy cow. Wow. All right, here's our promise in 16 and 17. Paul writes, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Here's the promise, okay? Paul is saying, I'm not ashamed of this message. I am not ashamed of this gospel. I want to pull something up here real quick. And, you know, I've started a new business. I've been in business over the years in metal fabrication and different things like that. And you know, one of the things is when you market a business, you want to make it super marketable and attractive to as many people as possible. It's part of the deal, right? You don't want to offend anybody. You know, it's kind of like, do I really put up a personal picture? Because, like on your resume, most places will say, don't put your picture on there. You might have everything you need. No, well, look at that.
Yeah.
Whoa. We're not using that guy. He's ugly. You know? Not that you may be ugly, but you might be ugly to them. So you have to be careful about how you market a business. So, you know, let's see. I want to go here. So I got in this whole LinkedIn thing, you know. I thought, it's another Facebook dilly bopper. But, you know, people started telling me, no. It's really good for business connections. And I found that it really is. So I went ahead. It says, you know, Mark Kregler. I got my QC mobile thing on there. And then in summary, you know, in background, this is what I put just as the opening. There's a bunch of welding nonsense in there. You don't need to know. But this is my first two lines. I am a self-motivated individual who aims to do his very best in his work and personal life to honor God through this through the life that I live with integrity and character. You know, thank you. The thing was, quickly, that whole marketing and being attracted to everybody came to my mind, and I thought, ooh, some people are going to be put off by that. And I thought, I don't care. I do not care. And it's funny, when I showed my wife, she had the same reaction. Ooh. She's like, you know what? No, that's good. You know, you think marketing, you don't want to. You don't want to be unattractive to somebody. I didn't put a picture of myself. I put, you know, a QC mobile thing. Yeah. Anyhow, but that statement right there. And it was funny because I met a gentleman who owns one. He's not an owner. He's a project manager for one of the large industrial companies. And I met him up here in Kingman when he was visiting for a welding competition. And saw him and talked to him. And it was just a really good interaction. We're going to go down for a tour of his plant and just and hopefully do some business. That's cool. And then I looked at this LinkedIn thing. He'd already looked at my little thing there the day before. So he already knew what he was getting. But he still wanted to invite me down there. And I think, well, that's a God thing. I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel. Either you're for it or you're against it. You know, you don't have to be whacking people over the head with the Bible. Just live it out. Just live it out. You know, it says, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Are you living by faith? Am I? I feel like I'm starting to, and I really like it. I really like it. You know? I don't want to be afraid anymore of, oh, I might offend them, or I might upset them. What will I say if I say Jesus? Really? Really. You know, I thought of this, hear the KISS method? Keep it simple, stupid. You know? But I thought, let's change it up a little bit. Keep it simple. Seriously? Really? Are we going to live this out? You know, here's the promise. It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and this is why. Because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Oh. Paul is stating that it is the power of God Almighty. And for what reason? For salvation. You know, if we don't feel that we have a need for any Savior, we're in a different place. And I've been there. You've probably been there. But when you get into situations, either God causes or God allows, it helps you get a little wake-up call. You say, wow, I thought I could handle this on my own. There's a gentleman I met years ago who was in the military, and he was stationed over in Korea. And the guys were playing football, you know, the guys do, beating each other up and having a good old time. And he went to tackle a guy, and what do they call that? They hit him in the stomach here? Spear, something? Niner? Anyhow, boom, he was down. Couldn't move anything. He could blink his eyes, but he's paralyzed. Freaked out. So they get him to the hospital, they get him on the table, you know, and I said, well, not sure what's going to happen here. We'll watch over you. And he said, he goes, Mark, he says, I sat there and I prayed, and I'm not a Christian man. He says, I'm too smart for Christianity. Okay, good. So he said, I was too smart for Christianity. And he said, but I was in a situation now. I need a Savior. He didn't use that word, but that's what he meant. So he started praying. He said, God, if I could just have my arms, the use of my arms back, that would be awesome. You know, when he's praying and tingling, you know, hands, and over time, started coming back. Then he said, I just kept praying, you know, God, help my legs, my feet, something, you know. Same thing, tingling came back. Legs came back. Had full usage. After his time in the hospital, the recovery, he realized that it wasn't God at all. It was really that his whole spinal cord had been shocked in a traumatic way, and that the effects just needed to wear off. That his prayer was pretty much meaningless because he was just too smart for Christianity. And his life was crap. He was needy, and that's why he was talking to me. But for years, it was still garbage. He was hitting his wife. He was drinking. It was just bad. It was bad. I'm not sure whatever happened to him. But hopefully, someone will be an encouragement to him, and he will share that story, and he will say, I was an idiot. I wasn't smart enough to be a Christian. Because sometimes being smart is just being simple. God calls us to walk by faith. He calls us just to believe and not fix everything, not run the show, but to allow him to run the show. We hold on so tight sometimes, we squeeze God right out of it. But sometimes when we let go, God fills the void, and he moves us forward. I hope you're encouraged today. We'll be visiting those promises that Pastor Brian handed out with us, or for us. Be that encouragement. You have your own stories. I tell what I know. God wants to use us in a mighty way. Can we get on our knees in the morning? If your knees hurt, sit down. That whole War Room movie, that's awesome. You know, but just like any movie, it's awesome, and then it wears off. Something else happens, it's awesome, then it fades away. But God wants us to be consistent. If we want to meet him consistently, we need to be consistent with him. Would you pray with me? God, I want to thank you for this morning. Thank you for this one day that you've given us. Help us to be encouraged, God. Not to be beaten down, dismayed, but just rise up. That you would bring somebody alongside us. We would be that person, God, that we would tell someone, hey, I thank God for you. Help us to make that difference within this family. We love you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.